The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11. Now on Mitchell's Front Page, the Monday Sports Panel.
In the studio, Peter, good morning, how are you?
Very well, Mitchell, but a little bit disappointed too after Saturday night, but anyway.
Buckets on the line, how are you?
I'm a little bit saddened by the result, and it's a little bit disappointing in many, many ways to me. Peter, I'll ask you a question.
Yeah.
With to Richmond Hardwick, he's only missed the play-in finals on four occasions. There was one on. There was a period of his career when he was almost gone, but he's gone to the very top. Is that the thing that's missing? In Scott coaching method?
Yeah, it's a good question there, Bucket. I know at one stage, and I think Damien Hardwick said over the weekend or after the grand final, easiest decision for Brendan Gale was to get rid of Damien Hardwick before season, whatever, 2015 or what.
I remember we talked about it on this program. We said Damien Hardwick probably gone.
Yeah, and he went across to the States over the summer, and there was a very interesting article not long after he came, or when success started, sorry, with Richmond, how he learned a lot about himself. It wasn't about him being the coach. It was about uniting the players, and everyone's as equal as each other. So, look, he's done a great job, and I do admit on Saturday evening when they went back in at half-time, one player down rotation-wise, he got it right. He got it right, and as we were saying before, might be a few questions asked about what happened after half-time with the Catters.
Yes, I think basically Geelong, they played two pretty fair quarters, but the other two quarters are very, very ordinary, I thought, including the last, they stopped to a standstill.
Yeah, I thought the first quarter, again, a few wasted opportunities, Geelong. And again, I'm always very edgy when it comes into the red time, that last 3 or 4 minutes in a quarter. And again, we saw that one goal again. You just had that feeling. Dusty bobs up, kicks a goal. Back to 15, and then it was all basically downhill. I must admit too, we're just saying, Mitchell and I, just before you came on, Bucket, I'm not sure whether it was the right decision, whether Paddy Dangerfield was injured, but gee, I mean, he's had four touches in the second half, and I couldn't understand both. When we had the ascendancy, it was up to Geelong, I think, for the first 8 minutes of that third quarter just to really hammer Richmond.
Yes.
Didn't have to outscore them, but just hammer them.
Paddy make that call himself and just go in there and do something.
So I think Chris Scott said that he did speak to Paddy about it, and they both decided the best thing down forward. But no, I think when Richmond started to come back, I think it was time to start to move Paddy back into midfield.
In an article I was reading, it talked about Paddy being a spectator in that third quarter because he was down forward and the ball wasn't getting into Geelong's forward 50.
Yeah.
So he didn't really have much of an impact, as you said.
One touch. Yeah.
And I think what you said, Peter, about the sort of early stages is spot on. I think when you're playing against a quality team like Richmond, when the advantage is going your way, you need to use it as much as you can to really put them out of the game. And I think there were some missed opportunities, like Tom Hawkins kicked one goal, two behinds.
Yeah, and not only for sake outscoring them, but at least whilst you've got the pressure on, and it might be a real scrappy sort of game, but the clock's ticking down, and that's what you need, to really put the pressure on Richmond. They think, gee, we know we're starting to run out of time this quarter. So anyway, it didn't happen, unfortunately.
And yeah, in that third quarter, you've just, like I sort of thought at half-time, we've just got to watch because Richmond might be coming back here. So you really have to sort of push that, suppress that a bit, don't you?
You do.
Sort of restrict that ball movement because it was just like the prelim final last year.
Nearly a replica.
Geelong was ahead at half-time and then lost the game. Bucket, your thoughts?
Yes, that's a real concern because you come to rely on these people. Don't wait for the coach at times to make the call. You even see it in country football. You get a player who'll stand up and they're like, oh, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to win this game or win this quarter for us and that type of stuff. I think sometimes you've got to take the coaching out of the hands of the coach, really. And when you get a player like Gary Rowan, I think that boy may have played his last game for the Geelong Football Club because he done nothing.
Actually, in front of me, I have And, you know, we don't like to be knocking players. I mean, you know, anyone that plays one VFL/AFL game, I believe, you know, has been a great footballer. Gary Rowan's last three grand finals back at the Mitchell, he's averaged 5.6 disposals, two marks and 0.33 goals a game. He has not fired in a grand final, unfortunately.
And in the prelim final, he did some good stuff, didn't he? So, on paper, it should have been. I think there's a lot of players that, just seemed to go missing a little bit, which has been Geelong's problem with a lot of the finals. To really string consecutive finals victories together, I think has been a challenge that they've faced since 2011.
And there was a lot of, like, fumbling. And you have a look at the two former athletes in Jack Henry and Mark Blixarves. Both seemed to have just looked a bit rattled at times and a bit panicky.
How many times has Blix caught? Twice?
Minimum of twice, And I think, a few of us were talking prior to the game. We believe that you had to kick, Geelong had to kick 12 goals to win it.
Fair call, that.
Now,
I'm going to ask you about another player. He played for the Richmond Football Club. Some years ago, North Melbourne went after this bloke in a very, very big way. He decided to stay with the Tigers, Dustin Martin.
Gee, you could just see him again. He's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. That intercept in the pocket and swung around and basically drilled that. That was his third or fourth goal. But, just a brilliant footballer. Very modest too after the game. He was in the rooms. He had his premiership medal on, but he had already put the Norm Smith medal somewhere away. He wasn't wearing that. It was just, it's about a team effort with Dusty, even though he's won that third Norm Smith. No bragging rights with Dusty. He just goes about doing his job. And the other one, too, that I thought, even though he didn't have a great influence, but to realise after losing Nick Barston early in the game, of course, and then Barsha Hooley tore his calf muscle in the first quarter. And, he didn't have a huge influence, but just that Richmond... that team, they're good.
Hey, what about Riewoldt? He said a lesson to a couple of Geelong younger players who get into a panic and get into a bit of a rush. When Riewoldt takes a mark, he goes back and lines it up and sets it all up and kicks the goal.
I thought, up until half time with Lynch and Riewoldt being very quiet, I thought this is good, but you just know those, especially Nick Riewoldt, you just know he's going to bob up, he's going to hurt you at some stage, and... And unfortunately, of course, he did.
As did Big Lynch in the last quarter.
So you can do a lot of hard work for two quarters, but you don't win grand finals on two quarters of hard work. And then, whereas Richmond, even though they were behind at the main break, they were still working hard and obviously up the ante a bit in the second half.
Well, they've always said with a day and night grand final, if we just see a night grand final, we may change our minds. I'm still on team day grand final, even though the lights and the fireworks, very impressive, but I'm there to watch the football. The entertainment for me is really second, third and fourth priority bucket. Day or night grand final next year in your view?
Basically, I'm a real sticker for the daylight grand final because, basically we've got so used to it, drier conditions, we're under the sun and not the moon, and makes a hell of a difference to me. I think we should just leave it alone. If you want to go to a nightclub, go to the nightclub after the grand final is finished.
I agree. Yeah. And even though with our COVID restrictions, but even without them, it's a long day. Waiting up to 7:30, isn't it? Yeah,
and a lot of people with their alcohol consumption, of course, on this show, we recommend responsible drinking. But some people, they couldn't make it for the whole day to the start of the grand final because of how boozy that day is.
Yeah, and I think, look, I know the young, the young kids, but they're still their bodies. I mean, even though they don't have to go to school the next day, a lot of those ones have probably fall asleep at three quarter time.
Also, it's not just the end of the game, it's the presentations and the lap of honour. When your team wins, you want to see that. So it ends up being, 11:30 at night before it all wraps up, which is just too late for most young primary school kids.
And the half-time break obviously went longer than normal.
It's far too long.
Yeah.
It wasn't wanted.
So
just on that, I think the halftime entertainment's not necessary, is it?
Oh, I don't.
Based on that halftime, what you're saying, Peter, I fully agree. That might have stopped Geelong because they would have been in there patting one another on the back and, we're doing this, we're doing that. We're going really well. We've just got to keep it up.
Although the last few minutes of that second quarter were a little bit worrying, I think.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Bucket, with that. Whereas on the other hand, Damien Hardwick, he had a lot of thinking to do, and he had a lot more time to work out their back six after the injuries and to restructure things, and he got it right, but he certainly had plenty of time to think about it.
Yep, sure did. Well, just quickly, in terms of the Storm, that's a good win for Victoria. They, I suppose the grand final that went right compared to the other one. Did any of you watch that?
No, I didn't watch it, because I haven't got the same interest in that game as what I have in Australian rules.
Watched a little bit of it. Oh, the commentators, unbiased. Oh, gee.
It's very different, isn't it?
Like, I think we were 20 or 16 sip up or 20 sip up, and these commentators are saying, the scoreboard's not telling the true story of this game. I'm thinking, hang on, am I watching the right game? But anyway, at least we got the Storm over the line, which was very good.
Well, next week we'll be talking more about horse racing, of course, because the Melbourne Cup is going to be on. But let's have the final word, Bucket.
Yeah, I'm really concerned about the Geelong Football Club. When you look at their average age, it's 28 plus. Yeah, they've got to do something drastic in that area, I think.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And Peter?
Yeah, I agree with that, Bucket. But I think at the end of the day, I think the two sides coming into the grand final were the two best sides. And I would believe over the past 12 years how Geelong has come up off the canvas with finances, membership, etc., well-run club, and also Richmond, who, 6-7 years ago were really battling. So well done to both clubs. Unfortunately, Catters, we just didn't get the money.
Well, exactly right, Peter.
Well, thank you very much to both of you. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week with more sport, but of course not football, because football's over. Football's done and dusted. But I'll be back tomorrow morning on The Pulse, and coming up tomorrow, Richard Miles will be with us, Darren Cheeseman as well, and also from the Victorian Chamber of Commerce, we'll talk to their CEO, Paul Guerra, just at the reopening of Melbourne. We're hoping that the Premier comes out this afternoon with some good news for our good friends up in Melbourne. But time now for the 11 o'clock news, and then back to our COVID programming. But don't forget, Bernard with you with the blurb from midday.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.